Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be beginning two lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Chof Aleph Omid Beis. The Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah that was found on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin with Beis, Reb Yuda Omer Ha'olo Hamachunos Im Yesh Bo Kezayis B'mokom Echod Chayav Olav. In our previous shiur, we discussed Olol, and we actually discussed Olol in the context of Shitas Reb Yehuda, in the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Olol are fragments of meat that cling to the skin after the skin was removed from the behema, after the skinning process took place, and there was an attempt to separate the meat from the skin. However, during the separation, the knife may have skipped over little sections of meat that ended up clinging to the skin itself. So Reb Yehuda says that, and those little pieces are called olol. If they are gathered together and you have a kezias, an olive quantity, in one spot, then it will be considered meat. And if it's, let us say, a nevela, if it's meat from a nevela with skin, so then he would be chayov mishum nevela. Omar Rav Huna, you'll notice by way of the markings that we have a number one, because there will be two points that Rav Huna makes. The first one is relevant to the point that is relevant to the Rav Yehuda's halacha on the Mishnah, and he says v'hu shekonsoi. Rashi explains that in order for the fragments of meat that are mechunas, it means that he consciously would have had to gather these fragments of meat together into an olive size. However, if they happen to get to become gathered together through, let's say, a child or an animal gathering the little pieces of meat together, that would not be sufficient for rendering it nevela. Once again, we're dealing with fragments that only once they're gathered together do they equal an olive quantity. Less than an olive quantity is considered void or botel. So Rav Huna is adding, not that they just became gathered, but that he gathered it. And Rashi explains that this reveals to us that he was not mevatel it, he had not voided it from the very beginning, that he had intended to grant these little pieces significance from the outset. However, once they become voided and only and they happen to get to gather together on their own, as we said, through the act of a child or an animal, that would not be sufficient to render it the significance necessary for granting it nevela status. And now another point of Rav Huna, and we've addressed this second point by offering a nosei, a title, to this in the outside margin. You'll notice the word nosei appears, and in our Gemara markings, Gemara Shas Ozer, you will find from time to time topic headings and structural notes that appear in the outside margin. Here we have written Dinoi Shel Rav Huna, Rav Huna's law, Shnei Chatzoi Zesim, two half olive in quantities of meat, sha'al gabi or, that are left clinging to the skin, or mevatlon. The skin will mevatel it, meaning they will lose their meat characteristic and simply be considered part of the skin. And as we were just mentioning before, the practical bearing of this halacha is that if you're dealing with an animal that was a nevela, an animal that died, which which as a novella would communicate ritual impurity, which would communicate tumah. In this case, since we're dealing with just the skin and an insufficient amount of meat, so there is no novella issue. We might as well point out that novella is a halacha that concerns meat, not the non-meat parts of an animal, horns, hooves, etc. So the Gemara, Omar Avuna, Shnei Chatzoi Zesim, two half quantities of meat, Sheyeshnon Al Gabi Ha'or, that are clinging to the skin after the animal was skinned, Ha'or Mevatlon, the skin renders the little pieces of meat of rendering them insignificant, voiding them. As we turn to the Gemara at the top of Kuf Chof Beis, the Gemara asks, Aliba Deman, according to whom does Rav Huna say this halacha? Namely, that if he doesn't gather them together, a reference to the first halacha, or we can say the second point, that if he just leaves them as two separate half olive quantities of meat, they don't have significance. According to which Tanaic opinion did he say this? E aliba de Rabbi Shmuel, if he says this according to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Shmuel is an opinion that appears in contrast to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, as is featured later on in the Mishnayos of this perek, where the Mishnah discusses a piece of skin that has two half quantities of meat, half olive quantities of meat on it. Rabbi Yishmael holds that since there is a total of an olive quantity, even though it's in two half olive quantities, it doesn't lose its meat significance, and hence, if one were to carry around this skin with the two chatzizesim of meat on it, there would be tuma. So, ha'omar lo mevatel or. The or does not cancel the half olive quantities that are on it. But according to Rav Huna, if he would not have gathered them together, they would have been canceled. Hence, to suggest that Rav Huna is in accordance with the Tanaic authority, the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that's unlikely. V'i aliba de Rabbi Kiva, and if one were to think that Rav Huna's din is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva, well, pshita ha'omar mevatilor, that would be too obvious. It would be obvious, because that is what Rabbi Akiva says, that the or cancels the two half quantities. So Rav Huna wouldn't be informing us of anything that we wouldn't have known already from the Mishnah. Li'olam aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. Now you'll notice, by way of markings, we have just now encountered a triangle. We call this an inverted triangle, but this triangle and the triangle later on appear in two different directions. You'll also notice that they're labeled as 1 and 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. In our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have triangles featured in these two directions, and we've written Kivunim Shonim, two different directions, Aliba, Deman, Omar Rav Huna, Es Dino, according to whom does Rav Huna say his din, the or Mevatel Shnei Chatzoi Zesim, that the skin cancels the significance of the two half quantities of meat. So, the first approach, and that's what we're learning now, the Oilom Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. If you skip down to the other triangle, there it says, Elo, the Oilom is, and the line under that, Rav Huna Diyomak Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so the first approach has Rav Huna going according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the second approach has him going according to Rabbi Akiva. Of course, we just got finished saying at the top how it's, how these two approaches are untenable. So let's see how we can make them reasonable. Li'olam aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, Rav Huna, who says that the or is mevatel, can conform to Rabbi Shmuel. Ah, but Rabbi Shmuel says that the or does not mevatel it. V'chikama Rabbi Shmuel lo mevatel or. And when is it that Rabbi Shmuel says that the skin does not void the little pieces of meat. Hani mili shepaltaso chaya. That is in the event that the, as a result of an animal attack, these little pieces of meat ended up clinging to the skin. In other words, if an animal ripped off skin from an animal, and in that attack, little pieces of meat ended up clinging to the skin, so since a person wasn't involved, so there isn't any cancellation of the significance of these pieces of meat. Avol poltaso sakin botil. However, if a person skins an animal using a knife to remove the skin from the animal, and while he, the person, is, or the owner will say, is skinning the animal, and he will allows little pieces of meat to cling to the skin, obviously he is showing us that he doesn't grant any significance to those little pieces of meat. Hence, they become void. So it's in that context that Rav Huna says that if he doesn't gather them together, and just leaves them as is on the skin will void them. The skin, meaning the skinning of done by the owner, will cause them to be voided. Toshma. Well, the Gemara wants to now evaluate our analysis, and it does so by raising, in effect, a question. This is a long question, and the question will be strong enough to cause us to change direction in assigning a Tanaic source for Rav Huna. Toshma, Rav Yehuda Omer, Ha'olol HaMechunas, Im Yesh Kezayis B'mokoim Echod Chayovin Olav. The Omar Rav Huna, V'hu Shekonso. This, of course, is the first halacha that we saw of Rav Huna on the bottom of Kuf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Rav Huna tells us that when is it that the meat will have meat significance? That's if he gathered them together. And we're talking about a case where he did the skinning with a knife. We're not talking about an animal attack. E amris bishlamo potosei sakin l'Rabbi Yishmoel nami lo botil. If you will tell us that Rabbi Yishmoel, when he says that there is no cancellation, not only as a result of an animal attack, but also as a result of skinning, that the meat does not become botel. Rav Huna, di Omar, k'Rabbi Yishmoel. Then Rav Huna, who said that if he gathers them together, then he, Rav Huna, will be like Rabbi Yishmoel, that if he gathers them together, they're not botel. Elo I amris potosoi sakin l'Rabbi Yishmoel botil. However, if you will say, like we did in our first answer, that potosoi sakin, that as a result of the skinning, according to even Rabbi Yishmoel, of course in addition to Rabbi Kiva, that even according to Rabbi Yishmoel, it's botil, the meat is botil, then Rav Huna di Omar keman. Then Rav Huna, who said that if he gathers it together, it's not botel, then who will he be going like? Elo li oilom poltosoi sakin l'Rabbi Shmuel lo botel. As far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, unlike the answer that we gave before, Rabbi Shmuel will tell you that all the time, whether it's an animal attack or even during the skinning, the meat does not become botel. The Rav Huna, the Omar k'Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Huna, who at the bottom of Kuf Chof Aleph Amud Beis said that the or is mevatel, the two half zesim, that statement will be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. That the or, once again, that the or causes the cancellation of the two half zesim. That will be in conformity with Rabbi Akiva. Well, to that, we will then ask Pshita. Well, that's what Rabbi Akiva says, that the skin is mevatel. What do I need Rav Huna for? So the Gemara answers, Ma'u detemo ki ko'omar Rabbi Akiva hani mili potoso sakin. I might have thought that Rabbi Kiva says that the ore causes cancellation, that's only during the skinning. But if there was an animal attack, Rabbi Kiva would tell you that it's not void. Komash Malon, therefore I need Rav Huna to come and tell me time of Rabbi Kiva, the reason for Rabbi Kiva in saying that the ore, that the meat attached to the skin is cancelled, is voided, is mitnesho or mivatlon. It's because of their mere attachment to the skin, not because of intentions per se of the owner, and as a result of that, lo shno polat chaya v'lo shno polat sakin. It doesn't matter why the meat is attached to the skin, whether it's attached because of an animal attack or because of the skinning process. Kivikotoni seifa, as is borne out by a careful reading of the seifa of the Tanaic source. Mitnei ma Rabbi Kiva mitaher ba'or, mitnei sha'or mevatlon. Why is it Rabbi Kiva declares meat attached to the skin in less than kezias quantities? It's because the or causes their cancellation. To review a major point, or the main point of our discussion, let us now, before going on to the Mishnah, point out that the Gemara, in analyzing Rav Huna, is telling us that Rav Huna's point of the Hu Shekonso, the first of the two points that were mentioned on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, that the small pieces, if gathered up, will be considered Nevela and not void, that will be according to Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, Rav Huna is explaining Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, based on Shitas Rabbi Yishmael, that says that even when skinning the skin, there is no bittul. Even when skinning, as we said, lo botil, not only an animal attack does not result in bittul, but skinning also does not result in bittul. However, Rav Huna's second halacha, which was not a comment on the Mishnah, but an objective statement that two half quantities of meat, half olive quantities of meat that are on skin, the skin is mevatel, that is a halacha according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holding that skin is mevatel. And the chiddush of that point of Rav Huna was that the skin is always mevatel, whether it be as a result of the knife, the person's skinning with kavona, or even as a result of an animal attack. This point can be seen by looking carefully at Rashi on the lower half of the narrow lines. You'll see there's a Rashi, Hochi Gar Sinan, we'll read this together. In addition to potaso chaya, le Rebbe Yishmael nami lo botil. As far as pieces of meat left on the skin, according to the Tana Rabbi Yishmael, there is no bittul. The Rav Huna di Omar aliba de Rabbi Kiva, and Rav Huna made his own comment according to Rabbi Kiva. Now klomar, when Rashi uses the lashon klomar, it means that it's an explanation that's not based on the simple cursory translation of things, but rather, ha, the Omar Rav Huna li'el, ha'or mevatlo, the second comment of Rav Huna, that the or is mevatel, the two chatzoi zesim of boser that are sticking to it, aliba de Rabbi Kiva omra. That point is according to Rabbi Kiva. Vahi de Rabbi Huda, the explanation that Rav Huna gave of Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah, that if he gathered together the pieces, they will not be botel. In other words, they will have a din of nevela. That comment was aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. With that having been said, we hope we've gained some clarity, and we now continue in the Mishnah. Elu Sharosein Kibisora. In fact, we have a title to this piece of Gemara. In the outside margin under the Nosei heading, we've called this a Rosein Kibisoran. In general, skin, as we've alluded to already, is not considered like the meat. And when we talk about Tumas Nevela, Nevela is a halacha concerning the meat, not the skin, not the horns, not the hooves, not the hair. There are cases that the skin of a creature is so soft and edible and meat-like that the skin is considered like the meat. So our Mishnah says, the Elu Sherosein Kibasorin. There are cases where the or is treated like the flesh. Or Ha'odom, the or Chazir Shel Yishuv. Human skin and the skin of a pig that lives in the community. In other words, it would appear to be a domesticated type pig as opposed to a wild boar. Rabbi Huda Omer, Af or Chazir Habar. Even the wild pig is considered having its skin like its flesh. The or Chateres Shel Gomol Haraka. And the skin of the hump of the Gomol Haraka. As far as Gomol Haraka is concerned, we'll leave that to the Gemara to elaborate on. The or horoish shel egel harach, and likewise the skin is found on the head of an egel harach, also a term that we'll leave to the Gemara to explain. The or haprosois, and the skin around the feet. The or beis haboishes, and the skin around the female gender area. The or hashlil, and the or of an embryo. The or shel tachas ha'alya, and the skin found under the tail. The or ho'anoka. Anoka is a type of animal, so its skin, that's the or ho'anoka, v'ha'koach, v'ha'leto, v'ha'chomet. These are different creatures that are found in the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'leto kechulda. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees regarding the lita, and he says that the lita skin is going to be like that of a chulda, and hence it will have a din of skin and not a din of meat. The kulon shiibdon or shihilech bohen kedei ibuda. All of these skins that we were treating as meat, if however they are tanned or they were trampled upon enough time which would be like that which takes place during the tanning process, tahurin, they would lose their meat status and become tor, becoming non-tomei. Chutz mi'or ha'odom, with the exception of human skin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmoyne Shrotzim yesh lohen oiros. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the eight types of sheretz creatures that are enumerated in the Torah, their skin is not like their flesh, and it won't be metame. As we look on in the Gemara, we see a couple of diamonds. These are explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We also have Roman numerals 1 and 2 that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So these represent Shnei Lishonois Be'ula, two versions of Ula, Be'inyan or Odom, Min HaTorah Tahor. Ula makes a comment that human skin, from a Torah perspective, is Tahor. In other words, even though a dead human being communicates Tumas Meis, that is not the case when it comes to the skin of a person. In other words, if a person, let us say, died and his skin was removed, the skin would not be metama on a Torah level. Omar Ula, Devar Torah or Odom Tohor. From the Torah perspective, the skin of a person does not communicate Tumah. Umatam Omru Tomei, and why is it that we find that the skin of a person is considered like his flesh, like we saw in our Mishnah? Why is it presented that way? The answer is, this is a rabbinic ruling. Gzeiro Shemo Yase Odom Uris Ove V'imoi Shtichin. we're afraid that a person, as a result of the loss of his mother or father, and the great grief that he experiences, he might want to attempt to preserve them and take their skin and make them into carpets or rugs, shtifin, rugs. Of course, that would be a bizayon as far as we are concerned. That'll be a disgrace, and therefore we tell the community, we tell people that if one attempts to remove their skin, be aware it will generate tumah. And people always want to avoid tumah, so this will be a deterrent. By this declaration of their skin being a source of tumah, this will deter people from doing this, from making their folks' skin into rugs. The Ikar Damasni Lo Asefo. You notice we have a squiggle underline and a Roman number 2. The squiggle underline is used often to distinguish between two versions or two options, two choices, and you'll find that under many different expressions in our markings. In this case, the Ikar Damasni Lo Asefo indicates a different version as to what Ra'ula's presentation, on what his presentation is being made. So here we have the seifa, the latter part of our Mishnah, that says v'kulon she'ibdon oy shehilech bohen kidei ibudo, all of the skins that had flesh status. The Mishnah taught if they were tanned or they were trampled upon, tahorin, they would lose their flesh status and become tahor, chutz me'or adam, with the exception of human skin. In other words, human skin, even if it were trampled upon, it would not lose its flesh status. Omar Ula. Now, Ula here is a comment on the Seifa. Devar Torah or Odom She'ibdoi Tohar. Here, as opposed to the first version, here we have added to Rav Huna's expression the word She'ibdo, tanned. For those who are not familiar, tanning is the process of making skin into leather. So Ula is telling us that from the Torah level, or Adam that was tanned, Tahor, loses its flesh status. Umatam Omru Tomei, well, why is it that tanned human flesh is presented, is considered a source of Tumah? As a preventive measure or a deterrent for a person from making his parents' skins into rugs. According to Ula, we are taught in the second version that the Torah declares Tohar human skin only if it's been tanned. According to the second version, what would you say about human skin that has not been tanned? Well, as far as the second version of Ula, it would come out that human skin that has not been tanned on a Torah level would be a source of tumah. According to the first version of Ula, it was presented that human skin, under all circumstances, even if it has not been tanned, will not generate tumah. So the second version of Ula, with regard to tumah, would represent a stricter approach, whereby there is a greater chance of there is a greater occurrence or chance of skin, in fact, human skin being a source of tumah on a Torah level. The Gemara, man demasni lo aresha, one who presents Ula as a comment on the resha, namely that even where there was no tanning, the skin is the human skin is left as is, but even so it doesn't generate tumah on a Torah level. Kol shekein asefa, then certainly they would concede to the case of the Seifa, where human skin has been tanned. Certainly, on a Torah level, there would be no tumah generation. Uman demasni a seifa. However, the version, the seifa version, which presented Ula as a comment on the seifa, which says that human flesh, human skin does not generate tuma on a Torah level if it's been tanned, aval areisha. But concerning the circumstances of the reisha where there was no tanning, tuma d'oraisa, then the human skin would generate tuma even on a Torah level. Continuing in the Gemara, v'or chazir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af or chazir habar metame. So we saw in our Mishnah that or the Tanakhama said that the or chazir of the yishuv is soft and considered like the meat. The Mishnah presented then Rabbi Yehuda, who says even the or, the skin of the chazir habar, is mitame, meaning it is also viewed as soft and flesh, and flesh-like. B'mai komifligi, what is the basis of this machlokes? Mor sovar, the Tanakhama holds hai ishun v'hai rochich. Ishun means tough or hard. So the Tanakhama views the chazir habar, skin, as ishun, as hard. V'hai rochich, or the chazir of the yishuv, of the settlement, of the community, possibly we can call it the domesticated type pig, that is soft and hence is like basar. Umor sovar, Rav Yehuda says, hai nami rochich. He views the chazir habar skin as also sufficiently soft to be considered like flesh and hence metame. Before going on, we have a nosei heading attached to this Gemara, and we've written or chateres, the skin of the hump, shel gomol haraka, of the gomol haraka, that skin is soft and hence considered like flesh. As we go on in the Gemara, the same point will basically be repeated many times. However, we will see different names and different forms of presenting the same matter, and we will explain as we go along. But we're saying ahead of time that in the next several lines, we'll see the same point mentioned a few times, repeatedly. In order to convey this phenomenon, you'll notice that we have a triangle that appears around the word kamo. There's a phrase, v'kamo gomo harako. The Gemara will be asking, to what age or what extent is a gomol considered raka? Raka literally meaning soft or tender or young. So we in the Mishnah had seen that the camel hump of the hump of a gomol harako is considered the hump, the skin of the hump of a gomol harako is considered like flesh. It's considered soft and meat-like, edible. The kama gomol harako. To what age or to what point is a gomol considered rako, youthful, young, soft? Omar Ulo, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, calls man shalo toano. As long as it hasn't borne a load, a burden, it is considered a gomol harako. You see the double underline here and a little later on the same line. These are questions regarding this topic. Boy Rav Yirmiyah, higia zmano litoin velo toano mahu. What would be the din of an animal, of a camel, that's reached an age that it's capable of bearing loads and it hasn't borne a load yet? In other words, it's adult, it's getting older, but it hasn't actually borne a load. What is the din? Is it still considered raka? Is the carrying the determining factor, or the potential for carrying, the age, is a determining factor? Boy Abaye, lo higiyaz mano litoin v'toano mahu. An opposite scenario, where it hasn't reached the age that it would be expected to carry loads, but it was used for carrying a load. What would the din be then regarding its hump skin? Teku, this remains unresolved. As we go on in the Gemara, you notice we have a little aleph, and a few lines later, a beis. The content of the Aleph and Beis basically is the same. However, the way it's presented, you will see a slight difference, which will lead to a conclusion of the Gemara a bit later. Yosef Reish Lakish v'kama ba'alei. Reish Lakish was seated and asked this very same question. Kama gomol haraka. How long is it considered having this status, gomol haraka? Amalei Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Shmuel answers Reish Lakish and says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Thusly says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, calls man shelo toana, as long as it hasn't borne a burden. Omar le tiv lekabli. Reish Lakish was so excited and happy in hearing this answer that he said tiv lekabli. Looking at Rashi, Rashi says tiv lekabli literally means sit opposite me, sit next to me. She amarta li dover devar tam v'yasher kochacha. So Reish Lakish, who we will point out a bit later, was known to be a rather stern individual who didn't mingle very much, didn't communicate much with his surroundings, with people around him. When he heard Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba quote Rabbi Shimon Levi providing him, Reish Lakish, with an answer, he was so happy and said, sit next to me. Yosef Rabbi Zera, now the same story, the same content appears now just with different names and a different reaction. Yosef Rabbi Zera, Kami Balei, Kamo Gomel Haraka. Notice with the markings, we're trying to create a sense of repetition, a sense of similarity. So here, just like we squiggle on Reish Lakish's name a couple lines up, here the same thing, Rabbi Zera. We see again the triangle, and the question is asked, Kamo Gomel Haraka. Amalei Rovin Barchinina. Hachi Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And here, once again, we have Rabbi Shua ben Levi quoted, calls man shelo toana, as long as it hasn't borne a burden. Havi Kotoni Lei. Ravin repeated this again. Rashi explains that Ravin repeated it because he thought that Rabbi Zera didn't hear the answer. Well, Rabbi Zera did hear the answer, and he said, why are you repeating yourself? Amalei, chado, havio, loch? Glancing at Rashi, chado, havio, loch? Amris devar chidush. We should actually read this a little more accurately. Chado havyoloch v'omarta. That's according to the girsa that the Shita Mekubetzes provides. And Rashi explains, Chado havyoloch v'omarta davar chidush echod hoi biyodecha she'ein biyodenu. Is it so that you have one novel piece of halacha that we didn't have? Hare Amarto, you already said it. Veloma tachzor shenu pam shnia. Why are you saying it again? Laharos chokmoscha. Are you trying to show us your brilliance? In other words, Rabbi Zera took the repeat in a harsh way, as if he were being insulted by the fact that it was being repeated. And he reacted, is it so that, are you repeating yourself because you finally have something that we didn't know and you do know? Well, the Gemara now looks at the two reactions. You have Reish Lakish's reaction to his being informed of this halacha, and you've got Rabbi Zera's reaction when he was informed of it. Tochazi ma bein takife ara di Yisrael lechaside de Bovel. Notice the difference between the stern, the tough people of Eretz Yisrael, Reish Lakish, who we described and Rashi points out was someone that would practically have no contact with people around him. He was it's hard to use the expression he was antisocial, but he was a person that didn't was very careful with whom he spoke, and hence he wanted to avoid levity and frivolness. Hence, he didn't have contact with many people. So he's called the takifei, the tough people of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, was known as a very pious individual, and Rashi shares an incident that demonstrates his piety. And nevertheless, you see that the tough ones of Israel are rather congenial relative to the pious ones of Bovel. It's in my opinion that the Gemara is trying to share a praise of the land of Israel and its, we'll say, its impact that it has on its residents, as opposed to the land of Bovel outside of Israel. The Gemara continues, V'or harosh shel egel harach, the head, the skin from the head of the egel harach. And like we asked before with regard to the gomel harako, the Gemara here asks, V'kamel egel harach, how long is an egel, a calf, considered rach? We have what appear, we have two opinions, and we've labeled them one and two. The Gemara will then raise points of clarification with regard to these two opinions in a moment. Number one, Ula Omar ben Shnaso. Ula says that 1 year old, that up to 1 year, it's called Egel Harach. And as a result, the skin from the head of a young calf will be treated as flesh, as meat. And that, in the case of an Avela, will communicate Tumah. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kol Zman Shiyonek, as long as it is nursing, as long as it is suckling. Ibayalaho. Now, the Gemara takes these two shitas and asks, how or what are they really saying? Hechi ko'omar. How are we to understand it? And, by the way, the Gemara is essentially raising a long question starting here. We have a shin that's encircled opposite the right hand of the right hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line which extends till the third line from the top of Amid Beis. Two sides, and these are indicated by our little Aleph and Beis that appear in the Gemara, which is the we'll call Aleph O Dilma Beis version of questions. The Gemara asks, Hechi Komar. Ben Shnoso Vahu Shionik, when Ula said 1 year old, is he saying 1 year old and provided that it is suckling? In other words, if it's less than a year and it is also suckling, it is considered Egel Harach. Leaving us feeling, or leaving us understanding, that if it stops suckling, even if it's less than a year old, it would not be considered egel harach, and its skin would be therefore termed non-flesh, and hence skin, not a source of tumah. And likewise, if it passed a year, even if it still is suckling, it would also be considered a non-egel harach because it passed a year. So the Ula in this first presentation is saying, ben shnoso v'hu shiyonek. In order for it to be considered egel harach, you'd have to have these two elements present, that it's less than a year and it is also suckling. And on the heels of that, v'yomar le Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan, who was the second opinion, comes along and says, kol zman shiyonek. As long as it is suckling, it's considered egel harach, even if it's over a year old. Oidoma, or maybe the understanding is different. Oidoma, ula ben shnoso ko'omar, ben yonek uvein she'eno yonek. Ula says, when he said ben shnoso, he meant 1 year, up to 1 year, regardless of whether it's suckling or not, age being the only factor. The Omar lay Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan would have responded, and the according to this second possibility, Rabbi Yochanan's shita is ben shnoso, v'hu shionik. In other words, this version of Rabbi Yochanan would be the same as the Ula version in the first presentation. And Rabbi Yochanan comes along when he says ben shnoso, He means to say ben shnoso, provided it is still suckling. In order for it to be considered egel rach, you would have to have both characteristics. So, which version is accurate? Is the first version the accurate one? Namely, Rabbi Yochanan would be presented as saying it's considered rach as long as it's suckling. Or is the second version the way to go with regard to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's considered rach only if it's both under a year and also suckling? Toshma. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kol zman shiyonek. Rabbi Yochanan says it's considered egel harach as long as it's nursing, which would mean even if a year has gone by and it's still nursing. This would be like the first version. Ve'im Esau, ve'hu sheyone, ve'im Esau. If it were so that Rabbi Yochanan requires both, and let's say comes to limit to say that it's considered egil harach only if it has both elements, then ve'hu sheyonek miboyale. The language would have been that he would have said it's ben shnoso, provided it's yonek. But he doesn't say that. Rabbi Yochanan says, kol zman shiyonek, as long as it's suckling, indicating even if a year went by. So that, like we saw in the first version of the Aleph Odoma Beis, as long as it's suckling, it's considered egel harach. Which, practically speaking, is telling us that even if a year has gone by, it could still have its skin classified as flesh, which in effect results in a stringency that you have something over a year old and the skin could still pose a nevela problem. Shmamino. This is viewed as conclusive. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nose, Birur, Mahu Shitas Rabbi Yochanan Be'inyan Or Horoish Shel Egel Harach. We're going to analyze or try to clarify Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding this topic of the skin of the head of an Egel Harach. Bomine Reish Loksh Rabbi Yochanan. Or haroish shel egel harach, mahu shiyatame. Now, it's true that we just saw Rabbi Yochanan address this topic. However, there is still room for clarification, as you will see as we go on in the Gemara. We will appreciate why we are still analyzing Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, the skin of the head of egel harach, does it present itself as a source of tumah? Again, we're talking about an egel harach that died, and dead animals, the meat of dead animals are considered nevela. What about the skin from the head of an egel harach? Omale, ain't no metame. Well, Rabbi Yochanan answers, it's not metame. In other words, it's not like it's flesh. It's not considered like flesh. Amale, Reish Lakish asks, Limadet Tana Rabbeinu, but you taught us a Mishnah. It says, Elu Sherosein Kibasaran, and amongst the different items mentioned, the Or Harush Shel Egel Harach. This was our Mishnah. The skin of the head of an Egel Harach. So, you see from this Mishnah that the Or is like the Basar, and hence it would be metame. Not like you're answering me now that it's not metame. Amale, Rabbi Yochanan answers, al takniteni. Don't attempt to question my answer. I told you eino metame. Don't attempt to answer me or to question me. Why? Beloshon yochid, ani shoyna oisa. The source that you just cited, namely our Mishnah, I have understood, I have learned that Mishnah as being authored by a minority or a singular opinion. And in halacha, if you have a minority opinion going up against the majority, we will almost always follow the majority opinion. So if you're asking on my psak, on my ruling of Eino Metamin, you're asking from this Mishnah that you just quoted, namely our Mishnah, that's not a question, because I learn that Mishnah as being authored by a Yochid, Loshon Yochid, a singular opinion. Disanya. And now we have a Brisa, which is more elaborate. It provides names. And in the course of this Brisa, we will discover that the Or HaRosh El Ego Rach is presented by Elozer ben Yehuda Ish Avlum. You'll notice with the markings, it's easy to spot this because we've underlined the name Elozer ben Yehuda. And later on, you'll see the dashed underline expression Or HaRosh El Ego Rach. And it says, we also dashed underline She'orosein Kibasoran. These are the key expressions that show us that this concept of Or HaRosh El Ego Rach is really, that it is considered like its flesh, and hence a source of Tumah, is only a minority opinion. Therefore, I, Rabbi Yochanan, said to you, Reish Lakish, that it's Eino Metama, and I am not bound by the source that you just quoted, because as we said, it's taught by a minority opinion. So now, let us see the source. We should point out that the little background to this source is we're talking about, it's called a machsheves pigol, an incorrect mindset that one might have during the processing of a sacrifice. More specifically, we will be talking about a korban oilah. And there is a rule that machsheves pigol, which when is present, results in the korban becoming rendered unfit. It could be unfit, carrying with it even a kores penalty if one were to eat the meat. The machsheves pigol takes hold only if your thoughts are led us to eat or to offer, to maktir, to offer on the fire, items that are designed for eating and items that are designed for putting in the fire. We should point out that if one has a machshova concerning a korban ola, an ola sacrifice is a type of animal whose skin is not offered on the fire. The rest of the animal, meaning the rest of the meat of an ola, is offered entirely on the mizbeach. It is a unique korban, because regarding all other korbanos, the meat is divided either amongst the kohanim and the owner, the owner, or sometimes only the kohanim, but it's eaten. In the case of a korban ola, the meat is put exclusively into the fire, however not the skin. That's by way of background. Now we have a source, Hashochet Sa'ola. Someone slaughters a korban ola, Lahaktir Kizayas Meor Shetachas Alyo Chutz Limekoimoi Posulvein Vokores. If one slaughters the ola with an intention of burning the skin, a kizayas, an olive quantity of the skin found under the tail, with an intention of it being burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the source tells us it's posel v'ein bo kores. The korban is posel, and if one were to eat from it, he would not be guilty of kores. However, chutz lizmano, pigul v'chayovim olav kores. If his mindset was to eat it at the wrong time, it would become labeled as pigul, and it would carry with it a kores penalty. Elozer ben Yehuda ish avlum omer mishum Rabbi Yankov, V'chein hoya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. It was also said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, echod or prosos, v'echod or haroish shel egel harach, v'echod or shel tachas ho'alya, v'chol she monu chachomim gabi tumo shel rosein kibasoron. These are different skins that were mentioned already. We saw them mentioned in our Mishnah. And all the other skins that the Chachomim viewed as like flesh regarding Tumah. Lahavi or shel beis haboshes. This will include the skin of a, in a case of a female offering, which is not the case of an ola. An ola is only for male animals, but there's also shlomim and other, let's say, just other sacrifices that could be brought in the female form, a korban chatas as well. If these skins are part of a sacrifice on during which you have a kavana concerning these skins to burn them, say chutz limakomo, posul v'ein bo kores, chutz lizmano, pigul v'chayovim of kores. By the fact that we are now, we're just going to focus on the or harosh shel egorach as presented by this singular opinion. We underlined Elozer ben Yehuda, but ultimately he was quoting the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The skin could lead to pigul. That means that the skin is viewed as the meat, because generally speaking, the skin of a korban ola, actually of all korbanos, even a korban ola, the skin, that which is official or formal skin, is not offered on the mizbeach, and hence it would never lead to pigul. How could it be that the mindset concerning the offering of skin could result in pigul? That's only if the skin is viewed as the flesh. And we see in this source that the from our that which we've dashed underlined, the skin of the head of an egel orach could lead to pigul. That indicates that the skin is viewed as flesh. But after all is said and done, this is the opinion of a singular, of a minority opinion, of that of Rabbi Shimon, and others would not agree with it. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was reflecting above in his psak, that the or harosh of egel orach is not like its flesh, when he said eino mitame. The or beis haprosos, my beis haprosos. What's meant by the skin of the prosos? Prosos, generally speaking, is the feet. So Rav Omar beis haprosos mamish. Beis haprosos mamish would mean literally the lowest part of the foot. The skin around the lowest part of the foot, that is the very soft skin that's referred to in our Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Omar rekuva hanimkeres imarosh. This is a reference to the bone, the skin around the lowest bone of the animal. The rekuva is the joint. When a person buys the head of an animal, there's very little meat on the head of an animal, so the butcher throws in the lower bone of the animal. And we here are talking about the skin around that lowest joint of the leg, but it's a more inclusive region than Rav's opinion that said the or of the base of process mamish. The or hu anoka v'koach v'alitoa v'hachoymet. This is a reference to skins in the context of shrotzim. There is in the Torah a parsha featuring different kinds of crawling creatures that are called shrotzim, and the flesh of eight shrotzim communicate something called tumas sheretz. There's a general prohibition of eating shrotzim that goes way beyond the realm of tumah, and that includes all shrotzim, things like frogs and snakes, etc. However, a dead frog, though, is forbidden to eat. It does not communicate tumas sheretz. There are eight shrotzim whose flesh will communicate tumas sheretz. We now are going to be focusing on the skin of some or all of those shrotzim. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, we saw a list of several of these shrotzim. The Mishnah mentioned the anoka, the koyach, the lito, and the chomet. There are four shrotzim whose skin is featured in our Mishnah, as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, as having a flesh status to it. So that in addition to the flesh of these shrotzim as communicating tumah, so too their skin. But he's listing four, and when the Torah In this very same parsha, the Torah mentions eight shrotzim, but the Torah isn't necessarily talking about the skins of those shrotzim. Hence, our Mishnah comes along and says that in the case of four of the eight shrotzim, their skins as well will communicate tumah like their flesh. Before going on in the Gemara, we have provided in the margin of the Gemara several psukim. And you can see they're written Vayikra, Perek, Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Tes, and you'll notice Pasuk Lamed and Lamed Aleph as well. Let us read the Psukim just to get a flavor of things, and then go into the Gemara. So you'll see that we've written Vizelochem Hatomei Basheretz Hashoretz Al Oretz Hacholed Va'achbor Va'atzov Liminehu. Here you see three Shrotzim mentioned, the Choled, Achbor, and the Tzav. Number, and then Pasuk Lamed, Vo'anoka, Va'koyach, Va'leto, Va'choymet, Va'tinshomes. In this Pasuk, there are five additional shrotzim mentioned. The Anoka, the Koyach, Leto, the Chomet, and the Tinshomes. And Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, Eile, Hatmeim, Lochem, Bechol, Asher, Tzakol, Anugia, Bohem, Bemoisam, Yitmo, Ado, Orev. Now, we turn to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanon, a Tanaic source is presented, Hatmeim. This word you will find in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It said Eile Hatmeim. And the hey of this word, the hey is darshened. L'rabois oroisein kibisorim. The presence of the hey in this word Hatmeim tells us that the skin is also like the flesh. Yochol afilu kulan. Are we to include even those mentioned in Pasuk Chof Tes? Talmud Lomar Eile. Well, you have the first word of Pasuk Lamed Aleph is a limiting expression, meaning these and not all of them. The Gemara asks, Va Eile Akulu Kot Ksivi? Well, but the word Eile comes after all have been mentioned. So, what could you possibly be limiting? You stated in Pasuk Chof Tes and Pasuk Lamed, all eight shrotim. And then you said, these are Temeim. These would seem to go on everything that was mentioned before. In other words, all of them. So why is it that this Tanaic source says we're not going to include all of them? Omar Rav, Lemineu Hifsiko Inyan. The word Lemineu, which appeared at the end of Pasuk Chof Tes, and you can see we've underlined it, serves as a block. In other words, the Eile Hatmeim does not go back beyond Pasuk Lamed. It doesn't go back to include Pasuk Chof Tes as well, because at the end of Pasuk Chof Tes you've got the word Lemine, which serves as a block. The Gemara asks, well, okay, so I realize that the three mentioned in Pasuk Chof Tes are not included in having their skins viewed as flesh. However, Lech Shevnami Tinshomes, why not include, why doesn't our Mishnah, for example, include Tinshomes, which was in Pasuk Lamed? It was the fifth one of the five shrotzim mentioned in Pasuk Lamed, and yet our Mishnah doesn't make reference to Tumah communicated by the skin of Tinshomes. Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Rav Tanahu V'Toni Tinshomes. Up till now, we've been looking at the Psukim through the eyes of Rav. Well, Rav has the status of a Tana. The status of a Tana, meaning he has the status of those that author Mishnayos. And in his perception, in fact, Tinshomes is included as one of those Shrotzim that whose skin is viewed as flesh. Well, okay, that's as far as Rav is concerned. V'ha Tana didon lo Tani Tinshomes, but our Tana doesn't include Tinshomes. Omer of Sheshes Breid Ravidi, Tana didon Savar lo K'Rabbi Yehuda, the Ozil Boser Gishta. Rav Sheshes tells us that our Tana is not working with the Psukim as the source of skin information, but the Tana agrees in principle with Rabbi Yehuda's approach to skin evaluation, which is a non-scriptural approach, but rather a physical approach. He goes Boser Gishta. The Gishta means the feel. But on the other hand, we know that our Tana argues with Rabbi Yehuda. When you look in our Mishnah, you see that Rabbi Yehuda, in dealing with the Lita, says something other than the Tana Kama. So the Gemara says, "Ubegishta daha Lita komifligi." There is a technical machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda with regard to the, how to classify the feel or the texture of Lita skin. It's on the, with regard to the Lita alone, they happen to have a machlokas. According to the Tana Kama, the Lita, which he listed together with the others, the Anoka, the Keach Lita, and the Chaymet, he has Lita included with them. He views it as the skin is not viewed as skin, but rather as flesh. And hence it would be a source of Tumah. Whereas Rabbi Huda says that the ore of the Lita is real skin and not flesh, and hence it wouldn't be a source of Tumah. The Kulon She'ibdon V'chulei, and it says, O Hilech Ben Kidei Ibuda. All those skins that we have said are viewed as flesh, and viewed as hence viewed as meat, and could be a source of Tumah, the Mishnah says that if they were tanned or trampled upon, Kidei Ibuda, would lose their flesh status and be viewed as real skin, and hence not a source of Tumah. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a Noseya topic heading that we'd like to glance at. Bittul or Mitum Aso. The loss or the cancellation of the Tumah capacity in skin. Hainu, what we mean by this is Shelo Yeheha or Nechshev Od Kibosar. What is it that makes it such that the or the skin is no longer viewed as flesh, but is, yes, viewed as real skin, and hence not a source of Tumah anymore. So our Gemara goes on to say, Hilech in, lo hilech loy. What is Mevatel or? So coming off of our Mishnah, we saw if it's tanned, or if it's trampled enough, it's trampled enough to result in its being tanned. So the Gemara says only trampling, but if it's not trampled, if it doesn't experience that, then it won't lose its Tumah status. The Gemara asks, well, Tani Rabbi Chiya, but Rabbi Chiya has a Tanaic source which describes, in this case it would be the ear of a donkey, but it's something that could have been a source of Tumah, that loses its Tumah status even without trampling. It says, Oizen Chamor, the ear of a donkey, Shetola Lekuposo, Tahiro. Tola means it was used as a patch for someone's kupa, for someone's pouch. It becomes Tahar. So we see with it being attached as a pouch, even without being trampled, it loses its Tumah status. The Gemara answers and explains, Tola Afogav de Lohilech. In fact, taking flesh or skin that could have posed a Tumah problem and you use it as a patch, that also accomplishes the voiding of the Tumah status. However, lo tola, let's say you didn't hang it on or you didn't attach it as a patch, then we will tell you, hilech in lo hilech lo. Only if you trampled upon it would it lose Tumah status, but if you didn't trample on it and you didn't use it as a patch, so it will still pose a problem of Tumah. V'kama kedei ibud, how much time of trampling is considered enough to accomplish ibud? Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rabbi Yanai, arboas milin. The amount of time to walk for meal. A meal is 2,000 amos, so it's 8,000 amos of time. However long it takes to walk 8,000 amos, which is, as we're saying, it's an amount, it's a time measured by distance. the amount of time to cover that distance would be kedei ibud. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Reish Lakish. He lists three halachas that common to them is the amount of time called arbas milin. Legabel ulatfila ulenetilas yadayim arboas milin. Rashi explains that legabel is a reference to the kneading of dough. If you have a person, let us say, that was hired to knead dough, and one would attempt to prepare dough in a state of tahara, ritual purity, bearing in mind that dough ultimately has challah removed from it, or in general, there is we strive to prepare things in a state of tahara when possible. So if someone was hired to prepare dough, or someone is preparing dough in tahara, and he needs to draw water, and where he needs water in order to immerse the vessels, he needs a mikveh to immerse the vessels of the balabayas. How much must he trouble himself to find a source of water for immersing the vessels in order to prepare the dough b'tahara? So we're told here that he'd have to trouble himself for meal to seek out. He'd have to walk for meal until he gets to a mikveh, and but not more than that. If the balabayas is insistent, then he'll have to compensate him for the additional walking beyond four meal in his trying to find a mikveh. With tefillah, there are different pshatim with regard to this. The Rashi's pshat is in order to find a minyan of 10 people to daven. If someone is he's on a trip, and he decides that he wants to, let us say, he wants to put down camp, he wants to go to sleep, and he wants to go to sleep before nightfall. We're told that if there's a shul that has a minyan in it, 10 people, at a distance of four meal onward in his journey, so he's got to continue four meal before encamping because he'll find a shul over there. However, if in his trip, on his on the direction that he's taking, he won't find a shul unless he goes more than four meal, so then we don't trouble him to wait, and he can put down camp where he is. Matilas Yadayim is the washing of hands with water for food. If a person, let us say, wants to have a meal, he wants to have a sandwich, and he wants to eat bread, and he needs to wash his hands, and he has no water with him, but for meal from now, he will run into water. We say, listen, don't eat until you walk another for meal and get the water. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Upon hearing the presentation of these three halachas, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, you know, there is a mistake over here. There's a mistake in terms of name and in terms of number of halachas. He says, Aivo Omra, the teacher of these halachas was not Rabbi Avo, but rather it was Aivo, the Arbo'i Omar Bo, and he stated four halachas concerning the four meal issue. The Chado Minayu Ibuda, and one of them, the fourth one, is the issue of the trampling or the tanning of the skin. In other words, the topic that we were discussing in our Mishnah. So as where Rabbi Avo didn't make mention of the issue of Ibuda in his presentation, Ivo does include that as one of the four halachas concerning the common to which are the issue of the four meal. Omer of Yossi Rachanina, lo shanu elo lefonov. The halacha that one must wait for meal is if the four meal distance is in the direction that he is traveling anyway. Avol le'achrov, however, if there is a matter of finding one of the items mentioned before that requires distance, and requires someone to trouble himself if he'll find it by retracing his steps, by going backwards, in other words, out of his way. We then say, afilu mil echod eino chozer. We don't expect him to go even one mil backwards. In other words, forwards, that on his way anyway, will tell a person, wait or trouble yourself, go four mil. However, to ask a person to go out of his way, to go backwards, even one mil, we wouldn't expect him. Rav Acha ben of Omar, u mino. And Rav Acha says, well, from this teaching of Rav Yosef Bachamino, we can infer, mil hu de eino chozer, one mil, he's not expected to go back out of his way. But if it's a matter of finding whatever he needs, let us say, three quarters of a meal, that we will expect him to go out of his way and go backwards. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source without any Gemara commentary regarding that's related to the issue of skins. Ligyon ho'oiver mimokon lemokon v'nichnas labayis. Legion sounds like the English word legion. It's a group of soldiers that are a band of soldiers that are on their way to war, and they're passing from place to place, and the soldiers enter a house. Habayis tome. The house, or the contents of the house, the vessels in the house, people in the house, are rendered tome. And the tuma here we're talking about is tumas mace. She'ein l'cho kol ligyon v'ligyon she'ein lo kama karkaflin. You'll never find a band of soldiers that don't have with them a number of scalps. Scalp is the hair from a person's head. Rashi says that they used to practice some type of kishuf, of black magic, using people's scalps. So the scalps, being this we'll call it the soft skin, will be a source of tumah. The al tatame, and like, don't be so amazed about hearing about them seeking scalps. Sharei karkafloi shor bishmoel munach barosh melachim. A very extremely sad fact is that in the time of the time of the Romans, the great Tana Rabbi Shmuel was in fact scalped. The skin of his head was removed, and it was used for kings. Kings or Caesars used to use that, or put his scalp on their heads. Of course, we hope for the day that there will be Trias HaMesim, and we will see Rabbi Shmuel once again alive and well at the helm of the Jewish people, amongst all the other great sages that perished over the generations. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.